The very first book of your New Testaments, the Gospel of Matthew, the account of the life, ministry, and teachings of Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down by God's servant Matthew. We'll be reading almost all of chapter 6. Give me a couple verses for the sake of time as we consider the nature of our Father. We're going to be looking in this passage into, to be forthrightly honest with you, the passage, the background theme behind this passage is for us to not be anxious. That's why we began the service with Philippians chapter 4. But the point of why believers do not need to be anxious is because of the nature of our God revealed for us in chapter 6. And so as we begin this three-week focus specifically looking at God our Father, we're going to be looking at chapter 6 because in it, Jesus is talking all through the chapter. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is describing the nature of our Father. So the underlying theme is, you have no reason to be anxious, God lovers, because of the nature of your Father. It's not that you don't have reason to be anxious because you have so much faith or because you're so knowledgeable, you have so much scripture memorized. None of that at all. You have no reason to be anxious because of the nature of our Father. And that's the theme behind all of Matthew chapter 6. And so it speaks to us of the nature of this Father we have and why He is everything that's good in a Father and why you and I do not need to be anxious, why we can rest in Him and trust Him because He is a good God. So follow along in your Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before people to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have the reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Pardon me, verse 5. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for when they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and street corners, so they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 7. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they'll be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven those who are our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver from evil. Verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they'll be noticed by people when they're fasting. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up, then we'll skip down to verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory, not even Solomon, all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. Verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But rather seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In your bulletins, you'll find a note-taking guide. Here's the life truth that is a summation of what we'll be speaking today. God the Father knows you. In verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I want you to notice that the theme running through here is that you can trust yourself to the Father, that the Father is aware of everything that's going on in the lives of his people. And so Jesus makes this point. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows you. And we're not only talking about what you need as far as the day-to-day things of the world, though that's certainly an important part of what Jesus is saying here, but he knows everything we need as far as spiritually and in every way. He knows what we need in our marriages and in our families and in God's church and in your life group and in your personal life and on. Your Father who is in heaven knows you. He knows all of your needs before you even get around to pray. By all means, get around to pray and talk to your Father, because you need to spend that time with your Father to enjoy this relationship that he has given you with him. But as you pray, don't think that you're informing God of things of which he's unaware, because your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. He invites us to pray and to seek him and to enjoy this relationship with him, as prayer is our way of having fellowship with God, and prayer is what changes us, because we don't inform God of anything. But God knows his children. You know, when parents bear children and they watch the kids grow up, you're learning to know your child. After a while, you begin to get a sense of who your child is and what kinds of things motivate him or her. What skills does your child have? What weaknesses does your child have? And on you grow into that knowledge as much as a parent can as you raise your children. But God never has to grow into anything. He made you. He knows you. He knows. He's intimately acquainted with you, the Bible tells us, as is the way our Father is aware of his children. And so God knows us. He already knows all those things about us, and he knows our needs. The reason why we can trust God, the reason why we don't have to be anxious for anything, is because our Father knows us. Once we embrace the Lord Jesus through repentance, embrace God through faith, and are born again in Jesus Christ and come into the kingdom of God, we enter into that relationship with the Father in heaven who already knows us, who already knows our strength and our weaknesses, who already knows where he needs to intervene and help before we know we're in a situation where we need him to intervene and help. He knows our most difficult and challenging things. Our Father knows us. And so Jesus, when speaking to the crowd, he brought them out often. These three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew, are referred to as the Olivet Discourse. Jesus speaking on the mountain and speaking these words to the people. He's revealing the nature of his Father. The multitudes had come. Mostly these were the down and outers. These were the folks who weren't among the spiritually or politically or economically powerful people. Wherever Jesus went, he would draw crowds, because he spoke to the common person. He spoke so that folks like the ones in the room this morning could relate and could understand and to recognize that he loves us, that he cares about us. So Jesus is speaking and the multitudes are coming. They've already figured out that the Roman government doesn't care about their needs. Their Roman government is content for them to be anxious. They already know that the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and Sadducees and all the religious leaders of the Jewish religious empire have no concern for the well-being of the down and outers who had come to listen to Jesus speak. So Jesus is speaking to them, trying to say to them, I recognize no one else cares but your Father does. And here's the nature of your Father in heaven. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows where you struggle and suffer. He knows you. He knows you. And he's intimately acquainted with you and is prepared to love you as a father and care for you as a father and minister to you in every way. Everything that we know of that is good in an earthly father, our Father in heaven has all of that and much more. And he knows his children. He cares for us and is aware of the things for which we need his help. This passage of Scripture gives us even greater insight into the nature of our God as we relate to him as his children. Notice this first point. God is a Father who sees you. In verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father see who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father sees you. He knows every circumstance of your life. Often over the years, I have encountered people who have said to me something along the lines of, I feel far from God. I feel disconnected from God. I feel like I can't, that God's not hearing me, or some other kind of thought. I heard it from many folks over the years, probably heard it from some of the folks in the room today. I personally can't relate to that. I honestly do not ever remember a time when I felt like God wasn't listening to me. I don't ever remember a time, even in times of great sin, I don't remember a time when I felt like God didn't care about me and that he had just pushed me aside and no longer was attentive to me, his struggling, sinful son. I've never had those kinds of moments, so I often find myself when speaking with that person, I don't really know quite how to respond, how to point that person to connecting with God again, because I honestly have never felt like God wasn't right there with me, even in the most difficult of times. And these are the kinds of promises that fill the follower of Jesus with faith. These are the kinds of promises that makes the son or daughter of God say, yes, indeed, I can trust my Father. I don't need to be anxious because my Father sees even the things done in secret. My Father sees me. He saw the things that happened in my life today and this week and this year. And he knows, he's seen the things that I've encountered. He's seen the things that you've experienced this week. He's seen the ways that you've had to interact with people, the ways that you've failed and the ways that you've done well. And God's seen all of that. He sees everything that there is in you. And so, whenever we feel like we're far away from God, we know where the problem is because God doesn't go anywhere. God's always on duty, and God sees his children. He sees all of us. Every moment, God's watching over us and caring for us. He's the faithful Father. Next week, we'll be talking, God willing, about from Psalm 23, about God being our faithful shepherd, looking after us and directing our lives. And the point is that God always sees. He always is looking in our lives and seeing us and is aware of us. So we're never alone. We're never disenfranchised. We're never out there on our own making it our own way, just wandering like blind people trying to find the way. If you belong to Jesus Christ, your Father sees you. And so even in the moment when you may not feel that close fellowship with God, God still sees your circumstance and still is aware of you. And he hasn't taken away his love and his care for you, even in the moment when you may not feel him next to you. Because as Jesus said, God sees everything. He even sees the things that we do in secret. Notice with me next week. God is the God who hears you. In verse 6, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Our Father sees you in every moment, sees what's going on in your life. Your Father sees. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He sees you in every moment. And he hears you when you pray. He knows what you're saying. He knows what you're speaking to him. When you go into your room to pray, wherever it is your place where you go aside to your Father and pray, he hears what you are saying because he is attentive to you. Many words in the Bible are translated pray in English, and several even in our New Testaments. My favorite one of all is a word that's, again, are all translated pray, but in original languages they have all kinds of great nuance of meaning, all of which, of course, can be summed up in prayer. But my favorite one of all is the one that pictures God as like a father who's bent down near to his child's lips to hear the prayer the child is speaking to him. Don't you like that picture? That's the nature of our Father. He hears your prayers. Even when you're whispering, even when you can't speak audibly and you're praying in your spirit, God hears every one of your prayers. He's the faithful Father. The reason why you ought to love and follow God is that He is the faithful Father who, when you're whispering in your heart, there's no sound coming from your lips, He's still bent down close to hand at hand to hear the words that come from your heart, because He is a God who hears. He knows your life. He knows you. He hears every thought that you have, the good and the bad, which is a little scary. And He knows you and hears your prayers and hears the cries of your hearts and the needs of all of our lives. He's a Father who hears and cares for His children. Notice with me thirdly, or as Jesus taught us to pray in the model prayer we see here in chapter 6, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. Next point, please. God is a Father who makes provision for you. Look at the birds of the air that do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Why should a child of God be anxious is the question Jesus is answering. And the answer, of course, is no child of God should be anxious. You should trust in your Father because your Father is one who sees. Your Father is one who hears. Your Father is one who provides for you. Now, for many of us in this room, our earthly fathers have failed us. One of the great dilemmas of life is that those who did not have loving fathers often find it difficult to be close to our Heavenly Father. Often many who have been wounded or just plain failed by their fathers, their earthly fathers, find it difficult to have that deep abiding trust and faith in our Heavenly Father. That's why Jesus is answering this question in Matthew chapter 6. Why do you not need to be anxious? Not because of you, not because of your faith, not because of anything you can do. You ought not to be anxious because of the nature of your Father. You ought to trust your Father. You ought to rest in your Father. You ought to grow beyond your experience with your earthly Father and rest in your Heavenly Father, because He never fails. He's the Father who knows you. He sees, He hears, and He makes provision for you. More than the birds of the sky. They don't reap, they don't work at all, but God provides for them. Solomon, who is noted for his riches, did not compare to those who are cared for by the Father in heaven that He provides for us. And again, the emphasis is on earthly things, but it is also on things that are much greater than that. That God not only supplies our needs for earthly things, but He supplies our needs for things which are much more important. That's why the passage ends basically in verse 33, where the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these things that we need, that we realize we need, that our Father realizes we need, they'll be given to us. They're almost, if you seek first the kingdom of God, and oh, by the way, God will care for you in all these other ways as well. But firstly, seek first God's kingdom. That's the first priority for the child of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't be anxious for things, but seek after the kingdom of God. Rest in and trust your Father in heaven who knows you. He sees you. He hears the thoughts of your hearts and the prayers off your lips. He provides for you, and rest in Him. Do not be anxious, but this is the nature of the Father you can trust, and He will provide for you. If you will but seek His kingdom, then all the other things that you need will be provided through the most difficult, trying times of life. Through those times of life that rattle your cage as you experience things for which you didn't ask, and things which are difficult, your Father who is in heaven, He knows you, He sees you, He hears your prayers, and He's providing for you and He's caring for you, and you should not be anxious. You do not need to be anxious in this moment, but rest in your Father who loves you and knows you and cares for you and provides for you. Provides for you the things of this world. Yes, we Americans especially can testify at the generosity of our God, but much, much more importantly is that God provides for us those things which they don't have enough money to buy. God provides for us all the things that we need. If we seek first His kingdom, then all the other things be provided for us. The things that matter the most in life, the things that keep you awake at night praying and begging God and seeking, those things are the things that money can't buy. But your Father even gives those to his children who seek first his kingdom, who make God his or her priority, and seek God's kingdom firstly. Then you may enjoy all the favor, the provision, the protection of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus' admonition to all of us is to enter into that relationship with God. If you do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and God as Father, today you should by all means give your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says if you admit to God you're a sinner in need of a Savior and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, you become one of His children. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them God give the right to become His children. You can be born again in Jesus Christ and become a child of God. And forevermore have a Father who knows you, who sees you, who hears you, and will provide for you. Pray with me, please. Our Father, You know our natures, and our natures are usually to be anxious, not to be at peace. Our natures are usually to worry or be fretful rather than to trust and have confidence in You. No doubt that's why Your Son gave us this long teaching in chapter 6 about trusting in You rather than being anxious for things. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I know there are folks in the room this morning, some of Your children who are wrestling with things about which they're anxious. Pray in the name of Jesus, O God of peace, that today You will give them that peace that passes understanding as You invite Your children to love You, to trust You, to rest in You, and to know Your protection and Your love. God, would You minister to Your children who need Your peace today? And Father in heaven, we pray for the ones among us who are not yet followers of Jesus, that today You would answer the longing, the deepest longings of their hearts for relationship with You, that You would show them the way of peace and hope in life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Worship bands will lead us in a moment of response. If you'd like to or need to, I invite you to come use these prayer rails. If you want to speak with me or another worshiper, this is your moment to do it. Let's stand together, please, and make our responses to God.